And you join us here in the front room, and we're waiting for the Paul Gannon to start his cold open ritual. He does this every time. He's just dredging his mind for... He's dredging his mind now for something something really trite.
Here we go.
Something really trite and tropey. Trite and tropey, everyone. That's what we're looking for here. Oh, and he's having a thoughtful look. He's thinking of something. Will it be a bing bong related trope? Or will it be something to do with fucking a dog?
I've got don't come on me breeches this week, madam mother! Mother, madam, I've got dog gorsets.
And here comes the Eli Silverman.
Let me do it. And now comes the Eli Silverman. He's prepared, just shaking off some of the dust and filth upon his clothing, straightening himself out as he now begins to... Yes, he's sitting down, and he's ready to retort against Paul's opening gambit. Let's see how that goes.
I think we should start again, Paul. We should start again with this.
Now you've broken the format, because now I don't know if this is too meta. I don't know what's going on.
No, this is really Eli.
I've made a dog muck on me gusset, mother.
This is really poor. I thought it was going all right, and then, wow.
The thing is, though, I've done nothing, so what you're saying is you've let this down.
I've let us both down.
Whereas I came out the gate banging away with dog muck. Dog muck, mother. It's dog muck mother.
That could be a new religion.
No, we're not doing... What do you mean religion? Dog muck mother.
Right, go with me. Okay. Go with me, Paul.
What are the tenets of dog muck mother?
One, you now don't talk about dog muck mother.
Dog muck mother, yeah.
Rule two.
Yeah.
There is no rule two.
Right.
Rule three.
Regard rule two.
Oh. Oh, we really are flailing in a dark corridor today.
And as the theme music comes in, Paul and Eli relax.
The Paul Gannon and the Eli Silverman
begin their podcast in earnest for not another week. Here we go.
I've tried a new.
Oh, rain's called off play. Rain.
Oh, someone's beeping their horn.
Oh, dear. Anyway. It's
oh dear,
fucking,
that's your one, isn't it?
Yeah, this is my new catchphrase, and I've noticed. Oh dear. Although I am going to have to put a pin in it because it's getting too much. I do it all the time.
I know.
Anyway, you've ruined the energy. That's the intro done. It's cheap show time.
Hey, press the fucking credits.
Welcome to the Cheap Show.
Sources and words and phrases. Two things I'm responsible for.
Chodney Borough.
I hate you. You're fucking evil posse.
Cheap Show time.
The price of shite.
Welcome to Cheap Show. Good morrity to you.
Good morrity.
Dayington.
Good Dayington morrity. Timington.
Good Dayington and good Morrington to you.
Chaddington Timington it on is... the Morroway. Beep, beep. Morroway.
Okay, no, don't ruin it. Don't.
Time-wise, don't, Morrington.
Don't jump straight to crazy
okay,
bullshit.
Sorry, so what's coming up on the show, mate?
No, let's just say what the show is first.
Morrington Chodney.
No, it's... This is not a podcast where hey, two men just say anything.
Let's go to a make-believe village.
A make-believe village. Oh, yeah, let's go to a make-believe village. You know what I mean, mate? Fucking mad
it's
for it.
It's fucking make-believe.
Manchester. All Hacienda. Right.
The make-believe village called Chaddington Morrington. Morrington Chaddington.
You need to fucking calm down. Just right out the gate, calm the fuck down. Hello, welcome to Cheap Show. It's the economy comedy podcast where Eli and I go for the bargain bins, the charity shops and Poundland et al. Of Great Britain and bring you back the treasures that we find amongst the trash. Oi!
Well done, Paul. You got through that quite well. Hi, I'm Eli Silverman,
hey.
Everyone. I'm the...
And Eli's got a little Tales from the Dance Floor coming up in a little while. But before we get
to
that...
What else is coming up on the show, though?
Well, before we get to that, though, got this.
Well... All right.
Got this. A letter
what?
Came in the post from Graxton Industries.
A letter came in the post
from Graxton Industries. It's got the letter heading and everything.
Well...
What? contribute to this setup.
I did all the samples.
Yes, no, that's not about the samples.
It better not be.
It's not about the samples.
Do they have any more? Were there any more in it? Is there any more in the envelope?
We've exhausted all of our samples.
Are they going to make
that? No, they've said
we've exhausted. Are they going to be making that product, though?
No.
The product I was testing, are they ever going to make...
They said based on the results they got from you.
Great.
No, based on those.
I loved it.
Yeah. But they're saying it's not fit for human consumption. They can't... Legally, it would be bad for them to put it out.
Well, they let me do it. I did 18 packets of that stuff.
I know, and after 18 packets, they realised it's not safe for the human skin
to touch. Are they watching me?
No.
Are they watching me?
No, but you gave the skin samples,
didn't you?
What
the fuck they want? I haven't...
Did you not give them the swabs?
I was sampling their products, Paul. Misunderstanding what the word samples means.
It's not fucked.
It's not. I was doing the samples of their stuff, not giving them skin samples. Start this bit again.
It's not work because
you didn't know what samples meant.
It's not work because you interrupted me with your sample shit, which you do every time we bring up Graxton.
And
it's
gave
never
me
funny.
Samples.
It's never funny.
I'm building narrative. They gave me samples.
Yeah, but narrative is an ongoing development and growth. What you just do is every week say, are they giving me samples? And that's it.
I like the samples.
It's not narrative if you just say the word samples.
Samples!
It's not lovely.
Anyway, Braxton samples.
This is the letter.
All right. What's in the letter then if it isn't about those samples that I've consumed?
They said, I'm just going to paraphrase this because it's a really long letter, but basically what they're offering us is some cash.
Yeah.
They said, because you've exhausted all of their samples.
We did those ad reads for them,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, but they weren't happy with those either.
Well, fuck them.
But they said...
Is there money in the envelope?
No, what they've said is this. They want to sponsor something that we can put on, like some kind of event. And call it Graxton Industries Presents Cheap Shows, whatever.
Brilliant.
And they say, can we do something in the arts? Okay.
Well, that's what we do, man.
And they'll put a lot of money into this event. And that'll be a kind of, you know, we'll get a bit of money out of it.
Is this going to be a live thing, did they say?
Let me just have a quick
look. Do they want it to be live? What do they want? Is it like an expo?
They said they want an interactive online art piece or something, art event. So I'm just trying to think what we can do, really. What we could do for it.
But we could do Eurovision.
No, we always do fucking Eurovision. Eurovision is bi-yearly.
We could do a song contest. We could call it something else.
No, we're not doing another song contest. Also, mate, I don't want to deal with the general public on this. You know what I mean? I want this to be curated. You know what I mean? Like, I want everything to go through me. I want it to be curated. I want it to be something...
Look, can you look at the fine print, actually? Because how much of this will be samples for me, for my personal consumption?
Okay, they say they will throw in 20 samples if we go ahead with some kind of online event.
Of the prototype.
Yes.
Powder.
Of product XB1. That's the one?
Yes, the XB1.
Product, yeah, haven't given it a name yet, but it's product XB1.
Yeah, it's the powder, though.
Yeah,
it's the powder. Insufflication.
Yeah.
I think it's insufflating.
I don't like your idea. I'd never like
they
your
make
ideas.
Chemicals! What else is it going to be? Knob cream? Would you prefer that?
Yes,
have
please.
Have Jackson got more knob cream samples? Because my tiny prick needs it. It needs to feed on the Graxton's grub. On Graxton's grub.
Look.
Graxton's knob grub.
Graxton's knob grub.
It's like they make a whole fucking holster and a sort of fucking trough. Gusset trough.
I don't think
and
they're looking for feedback.
And then that's when your little knob goes in like a pecky bird.
Pecky bird. I don't want it. I'm not having your penis look like a fucking spring watch bird nest.
Paul, I think we should both admit to ourselves and the listening public
that
we haven't thought through this setup enough to make it work.
Well, I would go further and say, when have we ever fucking done that, ever?
Man.
We've always hung on to our narrative by the skin of our teeth. Let's just commit to this. Get through
it. I committed.
You're not committed. You just say samples. Samples is
not... We're going with knob grub instead of insufflicating XB1.
You're going to have to run it past them. It's not for me to say, is it? You're going to have to get in touch with them directly via email
and suggest
Graxton's knob grub. Because you know they've been thinking about going somewhere else with that. So we've got to make this good. I know what we could do. I actually have an idea about what we could do. Because, you know, you're an actor, right? How about we show off our acting prowess? We make like a little short film festival, something like that. We can make a little short film, show off our artistic, get a couple of our friends to make films. Biffo will fucking do it, people like that. You know what I mean? We'll reach out and then we'll do like an online film festival.
You just had this idea right now?
Right now.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely unprompted. Absolutely not based on a couple of weeks' worth of prep.
It doesn't feel shoehorned in here at all. You almost said, oh dear, then, didn't you?
I did. I caught myself from saying, oh dear.
I knew it. I know you so well. I knew you were about to say, oh dear, and you had to hold it down and stifle it in your mouth. Fucking like a... You actually went... As if you were like... trying to hum through a mouthful of...
Do you want to just slurp your tea like a horse trying to fucking take something from the trough, like you always fucking do? Yeah, there we go. It's like fucking... You drinking tea is one of the most audibly horrible things I can... It is. It's like someone like dino-rodding a fucking pipe of poop.
Oh, almost completed on the dino rod metaphor.
Yeah, well, either way, it wasn't as funny as I thought it was.
No, but it's a good start. Dino rod is a good start.
So look, should we just do a film festival then? An online film festival people can watch live.
I'm so up for it. I'm going to... We all do our own films.
Yeah,
we'll all do our own films. Who judges them? Who wins?
I'll form a board of film critics to review all the films.
And will there be like an acting award as well?
We'll do an acting award. We'll do best short. We'll do best film, best song, best whatever, best actor, actress.
What do
we'll
mean, do whatever.
I mean, we haven't figured it out yet, but we'll do awards for the main categories.
We're going to have songs in them. What?
No, I'm just saying like best
performer,
script, best director, best film, best script, best actor, best performer, okay, whatever
so
you want to call.
I'll win the actor, obviously.
Well, we'll see. You have to make something. I'm not going to help.
I'll do it.
All right, you make your own film. I'll make my own film as well. And we'll get Biffo, and we'll get Ash, and we'll see if Putner wants to do it and stuff. We'll just see. We'll throw it out. Then everyone can watch us live as we do the Cheap Show Trash Can Film Festival.
Wow, you just thought of that as well.
Just now. just this second.
Just you got this letter, opened it now, and then just thought of this whole thing.
Some may call me a creative genius.
Well, we'll see when the film festival happens.
Yeah, I reckon sometime in May, a Saturday night sometime. No, not May, June. Sometime in June.
I think Trash Can, although a nice little pun.
Yeah.
I bet someone's done that already.
Oh, I looked and they haven't.
They haven't?
No, so that's why I can commit.
So you didn't think of it just now?
I did. I mean, I've just looked on now. You can't see it's an audio medium. But
well,
I went
anyway,
on the phone
as long
and
as
checked.
I get food for the dick, food well, for the nose, XB1 for the nose, and that fucking hot grub.
It's all dependent.
My pecky bird wee wee.
It's all dependent on how well we do. And if it goes badly, I can't imagine you're going to get any more samples ever again. So you better make a
well,
fucking effort.
Well, tell them we won't do it conditional on at least 5 samples of knob
up
grub.
Up front.
I want upfront knob grub in the mail.
I'll give you fucking upfront knob grub, mate, if you fucking want it. Right.
Oh, we're having fun today, aren't we, Paul?
Debatable. Right, let's just take a quick break. Why, it's that time again where old man Eli sits us down and we gather around in front of him with our eager eyes looking up and we say, "Oh, Mr. Eli, kill us as tales from the dance floor, would you, Governor?" And then Eli looks down on us and opens his big book of stories and tells us one of his witty tales about his life as a DJ on the DJ scene in London.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Tales from the Dance Floor. This week, a young lady came up to me. It was a very busy night, Paul. Busy, busy, busy night. And better, because I remember last time I said about how the Irish gentleman asked me for Adele and...
Adele. Have you got Adele?
And it was very much male.
Twas a sausage fest.
There was a nice balance.
Nice.
This previous
Good.
Night. So,
yeah.
I was playing. Busy. It was going well.
Fine. All right. Now you've
nice
established.
Night.
You've established
And
it's
this young
well.
Lady comes up to the onto the stage... And just to be clear, they're not allowed up there.
No,
if,
I know. We've
if
made
the bouncer
that,
is there...
You've made that abundantly clear over the 9 fucking years of this podcast.
If the bouncer is there, they will stop them. But sometimes the bouncer has to go to the loo or something, you know, or just can't be there all the
can't
whole time.
They, yeah, all right, I get that. They can't always cover all the bases, even though, strictly speaking, that is their fucking job.
They should, but it's a long night and they only have one position. You've seen the venue at the front there. Anyway, this young lady comes up
right.
And she says, "Oh, can you play this tune?" And I was like, I've never heard of that tune. She's like, "Go on." I was like, "No, I'm not gonna play that." And then she said, "This is all a bit too 30s to 40s. Well, we want something more 20s to 30s. And I said, "Try fucking 40 to 50, honey." And she went, "Oh, you don't look that old." And I said, "I'm not playing." And then she went, "House music, UK garage." I was like, No. And then she left. That's the end of the story.
Cool. Well, see you next week on Cheap Show for more absolute gold. It's just that I thought this was going to be longer, and I'm looking at the clock.
It wasn't
and
a very
like
good story.
The
crux of the story.
Hey, I'll go so far as to say they've never been any fucking good.
Sometimes they've been good.
Once, like Little Man or whatever it was.
Tiny Man.
That's a classic. That's a classic, mate.
But the way that she said 30s to 40s, and I said try 40 to 50. That
Did
was
she
the
mean
bit.
The age range was suitable for people in their
yes,
30s to 40s?
Yes, exactly, that was and explicitly saying that.
So is that explicitly saying then that people
you,
of that
granddad,
age...
Granddad, you're
no,
playing
no, no.
old people
no,
music.
No, 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 but is she also saying that people of her age can't appreciate that music at all then?
Basically, she was in a sort of, not an unfriendly way, but sort of saying, Come on, play something more.
It's called the fucking Blues Kitchen. It's not called the House Kitchen.
I know.
Or the contemporary middle of the road fucking 1980s and 1990s
or the,
kitchen.
Or the commercial music that you've heard.
Or the top 40 rundown charts of the 19 whatever. Fucking blues.
I mean, I would. You can't play blues there.
It's you actually can't play blues at the Blues
Kitchen.
Blues
derived stuff. Yeah. Which is soul, funk, and, you know.
Yeah.
Rock and roll. All pop music, really.
What blues song could you get away with playing, do you think, that night? If you had to go, oh, I'll have that one in. A blues track.
An actual blues as recorded as blues. Yes. Not just a rock cover of a blues track.
No, which one could you slip in and maybe get away with in amongst your big dance floor fillers?
Maybe something by Bo Diddley or something like that. Some jumpy blues stuff.
What about B.B. King?
B.B. King, you could, yeah. He's had some maybe. Rocky ones.
Yeah.
Definitely early in the night, you could slip some in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm bored of it now.
That's all I really wanted to fucking say.
You made me bored.
That's all I needed to hear.
You bored me with it.
You bored you with it. I was actually trying to get a little bit engaged with this and bump it up.
Yeah, that's what made it
but
really
I'm
boring
say,
for
after
me.
After 9 years, mate, all the story's gone now.
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get content
well,
together.
Well, that's that segment
We're
done
We're
going to
come up for 10 years on this shit,
aren't we? 9 years this year. Yeah, I was actually horribly staggered by that fact.
Why? What did
because
you think
it
was?
Because it doesn't feel... I honestly thought we'd come up to our 8th year this year. But no, it's 9th. 9 years. How? How have we done this?
Do you think
this?
We have a single listener who started listening?
Oh, yeah. We do have a few
when we
hardcore.
Started.
Yeah,
really?
Hardcore. I reckon we do. And to that person or persons, thank you very much.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
In fact, anyone who listens and supports us or retweets us or mentions us or talks about us online in some respect in a positive manner, thank you very much.
We do appreciate
that. Because
that is
the lifeblood, really, of an independent podcast like this.
It certainly is.
It is.
There's no lifeblood coming from a corporate daddy, is there?
No, not from our corporate
Apart
overlords.
From, possibly, Graxton.
Graxton...
Dependent on the
but they're not like you know Johnson and Johnson. They're still
pretty
kind of
big. I looked into it. They're pretty big and they're quite secretive. You can't find out what they do.
Maybe we should check that up a bit more actually before we agree to stuff. From
well,
there.
I've put it all up my nose. That stuff they sent. It's great.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was for your cock.
Well, there's that as well. The grub.
Is it multi-use?
No,
powder?
It's two separate.
What do you use it for?
It's a dual pack thing.
Yeah, but what do you use it for? What's just this
the,
instruction?
The it says set up the trough, the pants trough.
Can I just say, what I hate most about this is that you have to direct your hands to your groin so my eyes are led there as I now imagine you inserting your fucking
you just dip into
earworm-shaped dick into some kind of powdery trough.
Yes! What's coming up on the show, Paul? How did I bring it back around to that? Brilliant. Thanks for fleshing out that idea.
I don't
want
to flesh anything fucking out when it comes to your cock. All right.
Oh, I'm starting to flesh out right now.
Anyway, we'll see you after this sound effect.
Oh, sorry.
As I don my glasses, it's time for me to sit into my comfy chair and regard another Paul's page turner. Hello. I am Paul, and these are the pages I'll be turning this week.
Hello, Paul. What are the what's on the pages that you'll be turning so deftly this week?
This week I bought a lovely book. It's a book called How
Well Done
It
with
All...
a mouth noise. Please, why do you have to do that?
Your last character was blib 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 blib.
Yeah, but I don't go.
I do.
Didn't do that.
That's the thing I do.
Said, I know. And everybody... Let me be clear about this.
No, everyone doesn't hate it.
Let me be clear. Let me be crystal clear, Paul. I really want to be absolutely, transparently crystal clear.
Can you also be fucking concise then? Can you try being concise?
I won't. I never said I'd be concise.
You should.
I don't need conciseness.
Oh, dear.
You're so... For everything. Come on now. No one likes it when you make that noise. That
Fine.
Character fell off when you made that noise. Start again.
Anyway, this book that I have got this week is called How It All Began.
Oh.
The stories behind those famous brand names by Maurice Barron.
So it's a history of brands with illustrations.
I mean, literally, yeah, it's a big book. I got it in Oxfam in Highgate, was it?
The one we went when we started that walk for the Patreon video, and there's the Oxfam opposite the station. Was it Highgate Station on the Northern Line? Remember we got up and we met up for a little walkabout for the top tier Patreon video.
And where did we end up? Oh, for it was Hampstead.
Oh, Hampstead, yeah. Yes, Hampstead, not Highgate. Sorry, yeah, Hampstead. Yeah,
Hampstead.
So I went to the Oxfam Hampstead and got this book.
That's where I got that witchcraft book the other day.
Yeah.
I went up there the other day.
It's a good little bookshop, that one.
It's very good. I mean, it's, yeah.
So anyway, this book is exactly what it says. It is a little tiny collection of essays, each one based around a famous brand. And I'm not going to do all, we've chosen two in advance. But effectively, you can find out about the history and the birth of brands like Pyrex and Gillette and Goblin and Baxter's and
What's
Beecham's.
Goblin?
Goblin did like tech Hoovers and things like that, I think.
Yeah, they don't exist anymore.
I think they do, you know. I don't want to say Henry Hoover is Goblin, but it's like that kind of Hoover type thing, you know?
Yeah.
Industrial, I think.
Isn't it funny, though? Hoover is also a brand.
It's Hoover's in this as well.
Yeah.
So it explains the history of Hoover.
I mean, there's a special term for those brands that become...
There is a term for that.
Kleenex,
there is. There
Hoover.
I can't remember. Blu-Tack.
Blu-Tack.
Tipp-Ex.
Tipp-Ex. And, as we'll learn later, a certain brand of underwear.
Yeah, which actually surprised me, and we'll be finding out about that a little bit later. But yeah, so it's just a little
does
bit
it,
of everything.
Can I ask,
yeah.
Does it have a general history of brands in the intro or something like that?
It does have an introduction, but I haven't really read it. Do you want me to read the little bit
of
it?
No, that's fine. I'm just curious, because when would you say brands actually start to exist? Because the word... The concept comes from the branding of cattle, doesn't it?
Don't know.
It's, you know, those...
Oh, yeah, branding.
Branding.
I mean,
that's,
I guess
you
that...
You brand it.
Yeah, but I guess that's the point,
how you
isn't
say,
it?
This is my cow.
Yeah, it's not how I do it.
Horrendous.
My cows have all have mucky bottoms.
So it comes from that. That's where the word was first from. And
this was given to
brands, as we know them, must have arisen with the...
Well, I mean, there's been brands since the 1800s.
That's what I mean, with the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah, but they may not have been known back then as brands. That might have been something that came about in the TV era with adverts
and
things like that.
But it's in the age of mass production, it's the only way you can have a consistent brand.
Yes.
It's the only environment in which a brand can exist.
Yeah, volume.
If you can replicate,
volume of product.
Yeah, and replicate it, exactly.
Oh, interestingly, on the very, very front page, there are a bunch of facts. I'll just read a few out. Did you know that Hovis got its name in a competition from the lattice hominis vis, which means the strength of man?
From the lattice?
From the Latin.
You said lattice.
Well, it could also be
lattice. I like lattice chat. If we want to do a little diversion right now to talk
it
about lattices.
It is a quick question then. Wrigley's spearmint and juicy fruit gum, when did they first appear on sale? When could you first buy in a shop Wrigley's spearmint or Wrigley's fruit chewing gum?
Oh, I would say around 1910.
1893. Earlier than you thought. Mm. Coca-Cola was originally made in a three-legged pot in a Georgia backyard.
A three-legged pot?
Yeah, a three-legged pot, like a cauldron. It's, you know, yeah,
a three-legged pot. Yeah. Like a cauldron, yeah.
Yeah. There were never 57 varieties of Heinz products.
I knew that.
Worldwide, a Tupperware party starts every 2.7 seconds. I refuse to believe that's a fact these days.
That's no longer true because Tupperware went out of business last year or something. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
The original Tupperware have gone out of business.
Shame. You'd thought they'd stick around for longer.
No, you've got all sorts of different things like Sistema products. Have you seen those with the catches and the
rubber
seals?
Yeah, all those ones. It's a challenging marketplace these days, the food preservation plastics.
Plastic box.
Yeah. So anyway, she says in the introduction, just very briefly, that she hopes it can be an educational tool in schools. And it's just a bit of fun. It was interesting researching all the brands and the history. And so that's what this book is. And I thought we'd pick two stories out and go through them. How about that?
Morris, that's a bloke, isn't it?
It can be, yes. I believe it is.
Well, how do you know this is a woman, then?
Did I say woman?
You said she, yeah.
Oh, I didn't really think to look. I could check it up. It might be. It's probably a guy.
Yeah, that's...
Is Maurice a woman's name?
No.
Well, then it's a guy, isn't
it? Sorry to be...
No, no, it's fine. I just didn't even know I'd said lady. I didn't realise that.
You said she, yeah.
Maybe it's because I was looking at the Gossard lady at the front.
And
I was blah, 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 blah.
What? You were leaking.
Oh, yeah. It even says at the beginning, to my loving wife, Judith and all our children.
There you go.
Thank you for their patience. R.I.P.
Is he dead?
No, he killed his family, didn't he, Maurice? After this book was released.
Stop with the misinformation.
He snapped and killed them in a horrible brand-based murder spree.
So what are you going to tell us about? So these are all little monographs about different famous brands.
Yeah, and you know...
You know what? I can see the Bassett's licorice guy. I'd be interested in that
as
well.
Well, again, what I thought was as well with this book is we can keep it in our back pocket, so to speak, and the next time we do an off-brand brand-off or a food thing or a brand thing, we can regard the book.
Very good. Very nice research for this research.
I will say
it's a great research resource for our podcast, Paul.
Yes, I will say this book was in 92, and I think
there's been a lot of action in brands, the world.
It's been 30 years, so yeah, I'd imagine there would be
old school brands. We can learn about the origin of them.
Exactly, the origins aren't going to change in that time, but
origins don't change, Paul.
What do they though?
Well, the way that the origins are described probably changes, but the actual origin, if you're talking about facts,
the bare meat and bones of the origin don't change, but
they
can't.
How could it change?
Well, no, but
only
maybe,
in superhero comics, superhero origins change.
But maybe, you know,
they get retconned, don't they? You can't retcon an actual
historical fact. But you can add to it. More colour might come out, more character, more flavour, more context.
Yes.
So, yes, if Coca-Cola was made in 1860, whatever, I'm not saying it was.
Well, that's
a
good example because they dispute, don't they? Even though it's a fact of history that they used to put cocaine in the Coca-Cola.
They basically just say, we don't talk about it.
Oh, is that what they say? They don't outright deny it.
Yeah. On the tour, they used to go past a room where all these CEOs are snorting lines. It was like, that used to be the stuff we put on our drinks, but now they go straight up our noses. Ha ha! And then they bring out space cosmic fucking flavour cola stuff. That's why I think that's what happened. They took it out of the drink and into the fucking inventors
into
of the
CEO's
flavors.
Noses.
And they were like, I want space Coca-Cola like that. Oh, I want dream landscape cola that tastes of pixie
arse. It all tastes of piss.
It all tastes of fake sugar nastiness.
So, we're each going to read out
one
of these brand origins. I should start.
You should start. I'll tell you what, I'm going to hand him the book now.
Okay, now we're going to look at something we've all used as children. And
no, I don't know why you're laughing. I was about to say, what examples do you have of things we've all used as children?
Play-Doh.
Play-Doh is one, yeah.
Dr. Seuss books, children of a certain age. Didn't you have
those? No, not in our school, certainly. I don't remember having one as a reading
Dr.
ones.
Seuss?
No. Anyway, it's not, is it? Get into it. What chapter did you pick?
I picked Harbert's Plasticine, Paul.
See, here's the thing. Is Plasticine the brand name, or is it Harbert's make a plasticine? You know what I mean?
Well, let's see if we can find out by reading this.
Let's see.
William Harbert was born in 1844 at Newcastle upon Tyne. Later, he was sent to study at South Kensington Art School, where he became an artist of considerable skill.
Oh.
At the age of 30, he moved to Bath to take over the headmastership of the Old Bath School of Art.
Fine. Okay, so far quite traditional.
His progressive ideas...
Oh, I like girls making stuff.
Did not, yeah, probably.
Probably that was about as expressive as it got.
Expressive, did you say?
Yeah.
That's the correct word.
Yeah, that was the word I said.
Yes. His progressive ideas did not fit in with those of the committee, and in 1877 he resigned, establishing his own art school in Bath and subsequently becoming art master at most of the local schools in a private capacity.
Oh!
It was one of his problems as an art teacher, which then led him to found a new industry. The clay used for modelling was a heavy and difficult material for budding art students to use.
Yeah, the ones blossoming. And they can't blossom when they've got bad clay, can they?
Well, have you ever used clay, actual clay?
It's very messy. Yeah,
it's very messy.
It's quite hard to use. You have to get really used to the form.
And then, once you've finished your sculpture, you have to sort of, if you want to keep it, you have to fire it.
Oh, yeah, glaze it or whatever they call it, don't they?
Fire it. You can...
I don't know what... I remember
if
making...
If you want to glaze it, Paul, just wait till after the class and...
Well, get the teacher to help.
I've made a clay vagina.
I don't know why you'd want to make it. I mean, I made a clay...
Horse's mouth?
No. I mean, it wasn't very good, but it was a little pot back in the day.
Made a rabbit. I went to an art class in Camden Art Centre, still there.
Okay, and you made
a
rabbit.
Up there on the Finchley Road. You know, if you go on the Finchley Road up towards Golders Green, it's up there.
I just made a pot.
I made a rabbit.
Well, there we go.
I had it for years.
Carry on.
The clay used for modelling was a heavy and difficult material for budding art students to use. So... William set about creating a new material. Small-scale production started with the help of an old soldier.
Hey, oh. I don't know, this sounds really suggestive, doesn't it?
The material being made in tubs in the basement of his home using...
So he met up with an old soldier and made tubs of special modelling
clay. Using hands...
Arse toffee.
Using hands and arms.
I bet he did.
To do the mixing.
Hands and arms.
It's not a great turn of phrase, is it? Well, he's just saying he got in deep.
So
I think
he'd only move his hand first, and then he thought, I'll move the whole fucking arm.
I think what he's
arm.
Saying is he was up into his elbows,
getting
at least.
Fucking right
getting
into
right
it.
Getting right into it.
Mixing it with his fucking manly flesh.
Fucking pumping
I'm
that protein.
Quite aroused by this.
Pumping protoplasticine in a fucking tub.
Oh, was he all sticky?
He was gooey.
Oh!
Oh, you've come already.
Oh, I I've made me own special plasticine.
Who knew?
I know.
Who knew this was going to go there?
Everyone knew. Go on.
When a certain stage was reached, a heavy garden roller was pushed backwards and forwards over the mixture for about 5 minutes until the right consistency was obtained. The water squeezed out was mopped up by rags.
Hey, oh. I'm just going to do that now. Every time something, even a tiny bit suggestive comes out of this book, I'm just going, ew.
And the mixture then squeezed through a fine dye plate and laid out to dry and mature for several
like
weeks.
Like cheese or something.
Weird. Weird that you'd think plasticine, that can't be what they use these days.
Well, don't they use, like, not yeast, but you know what I mean? Like baking ingredients in something in plasticine? Or is that Play-Doh?
That's Play-Doh.
Okay, all right.
That's the dough part.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, fair enough.
It is said there are still traces of plasticine to be found in cracks and crevices of this house, even today.
Oh, like a ghost.
This book is full of shit, man.
Why is it full of shit?
What? You've been there and it's said. Someone said, oh, yeah, there's a little bit of plasticine in that crevice. Bullshit.
Yeah, 100 years from now, people are saying there's still a little bit of Eli Silver in that bedroom. You can smell it.
I've actually recently changed my duvet.
Because the other one grew wings and flew out your fucking window.
It is now, yes, an elder god.
Yeah,
on
like
another
bat-winged
system,
fucking
yes.
duvet cover. Dripping in cobwebs and egg sacs.
Oh, egg sacs all over the place.
All over, all up in my grill.
Like many inventors with families, William allowed his children to play with the new grey material, which modelled so easily.
Oh.
And they were fascinated. This gave William food for thought. Up until then, he had thought of his invention as a teaching aid, but now began to consider its merits for children's creative enjoyment.
Nice.
Now a name was clearly required. The whole family put their heads together and the name plasticine emerged.
All right, fair enough.
Because it comes from the old use of what plastic meant before plastic was invented.
But what year was this again? Because there was only plastic in
1844.
So there weren't any plastics back then.
There probably were proto-plastics, but no.
What was that stuff?
Bakelite,
yeah.
I'm sure that was later on as well.
Okay.
But plastic used to just mean malleable, moldable.
Okay.
Didn't it? When you say the plasticity of something, you're talking about the level to which it's stretchy, manipulable.
Okay.
So that's where they got. They didn't.
And I
what
guess,
I'm saying is they didn't say they didn't have plastic
they
existing.
They didn't invent the word plastic or anything. No, okay, fine.
As a material name.
Yeah.
Plasticine, pretty good.
Yeah.
It's stuck, hasn't it?
Well, yeah.
They call it modelling clay, but it's a brand. That's why I bet they don't call it plasticine.
No.
They call it modelling clay,
yeah.
Don't they?
It's like Ouija boards and spirit boards. It's that whole, a brand it's makes the difference. Trademark.
Plasticine was the name.
And plasticine's my game.
At first, plasticine was only available in grey, but William continued with his developments and produced a three-colour pack of red, blue and yellow called the Complete Modeller. Trade inquiries began coming in and William was launched into business. In May 1900, production began at an old flour mill at Bathampton, near Bath, which Williams had bought. His daughter Olive began to travel around the country with him, demonstrating his product, and soon they were travelling to Australia and the USA.
Look, I've made a worm, and another worm, and I've made this big worm.
In 1912, a limited company was formed. William Harbutt died in 1921.
Good.
9 years later.
That would teach him.
He was buried in Bathampton Churchyard.
Good.
William's family carried on the business.
Yeah.
Plasticine had many uses. In the First World War, the chief modeller, Albert Blanchard, was asked to make a scale model of the country around Vimy Ridge by the military authorities.
So used plasticine to model
a
kind of
3D topographical maps.
Yeah,
I
guess that's fair enough.
Which you need. It's going to be better than a flat map
in a
war sort of situation.
Oh, it makes it fun, doesn't it?
The First World War wasn't fun.
There's the trench, and there's all the people dying. I've put little bodies all over it. Yeah. And look, there's a little football stadium there. I've put it in as well. A little row of flowers, and there's a train station. And there's old Mr. Whooshing. Yeah, Mr. Whooshing at the station. He's the station master, and he pulls the lever for the 3:15 from Hampstead.
This is a model railway.
The Hun come over the time, and the Tommies will get it in the neck.
Okay, Paul.
Yeah.
The racer Sir Malcolm Campbell used a specially built plasticine racing car in a wind tunnel to discover its faults. Weird.
Oh, no, but that's something they still do to this day. They put it into wind tunnels, don't they? And they can mould it so they can see the airflow and stuff over stuff.
Ah, he didn't say road. I thought you meant an actual car you could ride in.
No,
right.
No, because I think it was
a model car. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because Mythbusters.
And you test the aerodynamic thing, yeah.
Mythbusters did this really interesting test years ago where it was like, golf balls have dimples in, right? And that's to help them go through the air quicker. Yeah. And you thought, well, how does that work? And does it apply to cars? So they got a car, covered it in modelling clay and made dimples in it and did it in a whole whole wind tunnel. And they found that, yeah, it makes a car faster.
So why don't F1 cars do
exactly that? Well, maybe because it looks weird and ugly, or maybe, I don't know, but they said it was interesting. But they used modelling clay.
I'd tell you what, it would set people's tryptophobia off, wouldn't it?
It would. The fastest crumpet in the West coming down the high street.
I would like to see that.
I'd love to see. I love crumpets.
We could butter it as we go.
You know what, mate? Just for me, you don't have to do the wanky sign near your groin. That's twice I've been led towards it now.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I just.
I know,
the thought
I know.
Of wanking but... on a moving crumpet as it goes past. Something appealing about that.
I wouldn't want to be the driver.
Today, this is 93.
Yeah.
Plasticine is a household word. It is.
It is.
In many countries. And it's a worldwide registered trademark, so still a trademark. And look, there's a picture of some horses.
Made of plasticine, I presume.
Wow, it's very good. His daughter made this.
Yeah, well, it's modelling clay, isn't
Olive
it?
Olive made it in 1910. It's very nice. It's like a relief cameo of three horses.
I'll put a picture on our website from the book on there then.
Doesn't cool. that look good? Well modelled.
Yeah, it yeah. is. Very well
so
done.
So she wasn't just making worms. She was doing like, she was no. obviously a skilled artist.
She's very good at making the horse cock a bit though as a result. Look, you really see the veins in that one, Father. Anyway, there's the history of plasticine. Let's go to the one I pick.
Paul.
Yeah.
Right. Why, he's just done a licky-licky.
Shut up. It's now time for me to pick the thing I wanted to. So look, this surprised me because I honestly didn't know that the item I'm going to speak about was the brand name for. I just thought it was the design. But this book is about, this chapter, is Cooper's Y-Front Underwear. And I was like, I just thought Y-Front was the design.
Well, I just thought it was purely descriptive.
Yeah.
Like a T-shirt.
Yeah.
See?
But apparently it was a special brand. So
a guinea tea.
Let's go into it, shall we? So it was in Kenosha, USA, that underwear manufacturer Cooper's Inc. took their first steps from long johns and other unflattering underwear. Because I guess that was the prevailing underwear at the time, wasn't it, for men?
Just long johns.
Long johns.
Be a nightmare in the summertime.
Well, that was probably part of the problem, wasn't it? And
too
also
hot.
Access to cock and arse for toiletry moments, isn't it?
Oh, mate.
Or, you know, what if you got a little Josh on and you'd have to do 100 fucking buttons to get at it? I'd lose all wood by that point.
You'd lose wood getting it out.
By button 5, it's back to sleepy time cock as well, isn't it? It's back
so
to sleepy.
So you spend most of your day just going, oh, I've achieved it again, and then unbutton a hole, and it's gone. Oh, I've achieved it. Oh, it's... Ooh, what if the actual sensation of turning the buttons up
yeah.
is what caused it?
Then it would be hell forever.
And then undoing them
yeah.
is what made it go down again.
Oh.
And you'd be like a human accordion
yeah.
on your...
No, I get it. No, you've gone into it. We're one sentence in, so let's just crack on. They developed a garment where two flaps over the body fabric lapped over one another in an X formation. These overlaps, being easily drawn aside and replaced, was called the Kenosha Closed Crotch, but they spell it with three K's. So I'm wondering why that didn't catch on.
Crotch, which word is spelled with three K's?
Kenosha is K, closed.
Oh, closed K, with a K.
And crotch with
oh
a K.
Oh my God, wonder why that didn't fucking catch
Please
on.
Please wear our KKK pants. In 1911, it was the first item of male underwear to be nationally advertised as well, and sales boomed. 1934 saw the next milestone in the development of this now familiar garment. A senior vice president of Cooper's, idly glancing through a magazine, was intrigued by a pair of swimming trunks worn by one of the bathers on the French Riviera. The trunks had a stitched, slightly cupped front section, which offered the man a comfortable, sustained control. It was the birth of the modern underpant. So I'm guessing that the long john still existed, but it had the closed crotch X design. And then the guy went, oh, look, they're just trunks, and we could put our Y on the front.
I don't get this.
What do you mean?
I don't get what you're saying. I don't follow.
That
Let me see Kenosha, the picture.
No, there's no picture of it. There's only the Y front. But what I'm saying is the Kenosha closed crotch thing was basically still a long john. But the difference is it had a cross opening.
It had the little
yeah.
flap, but they hadn't thought to take the legs up, basically.
No, that's
okay.
what I'm saying. In 1934, he saw French person
but that,
wearing trunks.
But he had a totally... This French bloke,
Can
he saw...
Can you stop grabbing the part of your body I know you're referring to? I've never been drawn to your groin so much in one episode.
But did this French bloke...
It was
right,
just a picture in a magazine.
Oh, it was in a magazine?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is he had no way of getting his knob out.
No.
Except over the top.
Yeah, as is the
so
fashion
then
with trunks.
He said, oh, we could use this long john thing, and this is the moment... The Eureka
oh, yeah.
moment, yeah.
The first experimental Y-front was produced by Cooper's under the factory name of the Brief Style 1001.
Oh, yeah.
From the future.
Wow.
In September 1934, received a US patent in August 1935. 5 in knitted fabric with elastic waistband and a unique inverted Y opening, which left no gap. The jockey Y front was initially laughed at and scorned by the rest of the industry.
Shows them.
Shows them what they know, because it's always the one they laugh at which gets the last laugh.
Not always.
Always. Sometimes. I'll get the last laugh. I'll get it.
Will you?
No. The launch window display had been booked for the large Marshall Field store in Chicago, but the city was having one of its winter blizzards. The drifting snow outside an exhibition of brief underclothed males made it seem like nonsense. I don't understand what that means. And the store management issued orders for the display to be changed and cancellation of the advertisement.
It didn't fit because it was like a bunch of men in Y-fronts.
Oh, and it was too cold outside. I don't know.
It just didn't.
Either way.
It looked absurd. I don't know.
However, the weather delayed the display man and someone forgot to cancel the advertisement. The 50 dozen stock sold out before noon. In the next 8-day selling period, over 1,000 dozen pair of Y fronts were sold.
It was a fucking underpant buying.
It was a craze.
Frenzy.
It was a male craze. You couldn't take them off their hands. In Britain, Charlie Oliver, managing director of Lyle and Scott,
had been
impressed by the pair of Y fronts he had seen.
I've seen some Y fronts and I was very impressed by them.
He saw them by chance in the window of Simpsons of Piccadilly.
I was just walking past Simpsons Piccadilly. They jumped out at me.
I said, fucking hell! Look at that!
It's the fucking future of underwear!
It's a long john without the long or the john.
But you can slip your nod there, nam nam there!
Nub in the bat! It's a dream! In 1938, he bought and took a pair home, tried them on and liked them.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine the feeling of that, where it's like, oh, I feel sexy in these.
In the mirror, he's like,
oh, look at the gusset.
Look how fucking... He probably did a fucking taxi driver. You talking to me?
You talking to me?
I can whip it right out.
Nub it in, nub it out.
Now you're touching your groin.
Oh, no, we're all doing it. During the same year, an agreement was signed between Lyle and Scott and Coopers for the franchise rights in the UK, French and Danish markets. The agreement was for the production of Y-front underpants in cotton to be made in Hawick. Or Harwick, I don't know how you pronounce that. H-A-W-I-C-K.
Hawick.
In Hawick, the holy of holiest of the hosiery trade, many predicted the collapse of Lyle and Scott. But the white fronts were different and comfortable. No buttons.
Lyle
no
and Scott made syrup, didn't they?
No, that's Lyle and something
Tate.
Else. Yeah. But no buttons,
Tate
no loops. No buttons, no loops, no gaps. It was a snug, comfortable pant for the groin.
It's a great idea.
During the war years, when salvage of rubber was important, they advertised,
as a Y-front wearer, we may ask you, in the national interest, to return your elastic bands from your old Y-fronts to your Y-front seller.
I wouldn't take them. I wouldn't. If you walked into my shop with a bunch of tatty old Y-fronts, torn asunder by years of abuse, and you went, here's me
elastic.
I'd be like, no, you can keep it, mate. I don't want that yellow stained brown
they said
dirty
what,
thing.
They said they'd repair the what the
no,
elastic.
They were using the elastic for the war effort for like, I don't know.
Oh.
So they were saying, don't throw your undies out, take them back to your white front seller. We strip the elastic out and send it to make, I don't know, parachutes
yeah.
or whatever, whatever, whatever.
I bet they did do that.
Of course they did, yeah.
Wow.
After the war, Charlie Oliver, in a bowler hat with a rolled up umbrella, travelled the world opening up export markets. The advent of the jockeys or boxers only helped to increase sales and demand constantly.
I don't understand. What's
exceeded.
The difference between boxers? And what they invented?
Well, no, just the design style changed. So they went from the trunk design to more loose boxer shape, didn't
okay.
they? It was just part of the development of that style.
Paul, can I ask you?
Wait, I'm nearly finished and we can get done. Today, Y-fronts are the clear market leader in the branded underpant department. And there's some adverts of a man holding an Olympic torch and checking his underpant to waistband.
Paul, do you wear Y-fronts?
I haven't worn Y-fronts since
in
I
years,
was like
a kid.
10.
Yeah. I think maybe they're more for children these days.
I always associate
them. They're like training
them.
Pants, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of men do it differently. Some men like to go out through the
I'm much more of a waistband puller downer.
I'm over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop touching yourself when
I
you talk.
Wasn't. I was there in front.
Because even though most of my underpants do have the button.
I still go over the top, yeah.
I'm just still whacking
it. It's more control if you go over the top.
Yeah. And I can
anyway.
Get all the length out in one go then, you know what I mean? Get the whole bird out.
Yeah.
Get the whole bird out for
presentation.
I mean,
we talk about this,
yeah.
you know, like, you do it every day, you have to handle it.
You have to touch it, you got to wrestle
I often,
with the
when
beast.
When I'm taking a leak, I often think, God, it'd be good if you didn't have to do this all the time.
Yeah, true, what, you didn't have to touch your penis all the time?
No, I'm up for that.
Oh, yeah,
but
many are.
The
what, the process?
Going, having to go for a wee.
Yeah, no, I
and
know.
And a poo.
And a poo. Well, that's the sad thing. My last memory of my Y-front was laying a big brown pound loaf and carrying it around. I had a little, poo hammock in my pants for a couple of hours.
All your memories from childhood are about you shitting.
I've shat myself.
Flower pots, pants, everywhere.
Hey, first of all, I wasn't young. I mean, I was like 17 when I shat in a power pot or whatever. Power pot? Flower pot. You know?
Power pot! It contains...
And then what was the other time I shat myself? Tell me. Tell me when it was.
The other day when you were doing the radio.
No. That was a little
bit. It was a nug nug.
It was a hot fart that had a little bit of spittle on the end of it. That was all it was.
I thought it was had some when I was volume.
When I was ill over Christmas, there's a little bit of seepage, you know, a little bit of.
I'm sorry I started this conversation.
Lost offerings. That's it. So that's you. There you go. The history. I mean, thank you, Maurice Barron, for letting us read from your book.
And like we say, that is going to be invaluable as a little piece of research resource.
Tate and Lyle. So there is one. There's a
Tate and Lyle's in there. Yeah.
There you go. And I didn't know this. Just to end on the golden syrup, Lyle's golden syrup. They finally changed the logo.
They did just recently. I was going to bring this up.
Do you know why?
Because it was a dead lion.
I didn't even notice that for years. But yeah, if you look at it, it's a dead lion surrounded by wasps or bees or whatever.
They're bees. Because it's to do with the honey. What is that from? Why was it that?
Oh, okay. I'll tell you very quickly. Golden syrup still bears the name Lyle's Golden Syrup with its picture of a lion laying down, surrounded by flying bees. Underneath is the phrase from the Bible, Book of Judges, chapter 14,
verse
14.
Yeah, it's a
14,
Bible verse, yeah.
Referring to the story of Samson. Out of the strong came forth the sweetness.
Okay, yeah.
Don't know what that's got to do with a lion. Samson took a lion.
Awesome.
Didn't he take
I think they were very religious, weren't they, Tate and Lyle? And Tate was, of course, a great philanthropist.
And a great philanthropist, yes.
A great philanthropist.
Yes.
Philanthropist. And I'm philanthropist
off
past
with you
caring
right now.
About this.
Yes. Well, let's end this segment now then. That was Paul's Page Turners.
Is it theme time?
Unfortunately, yes,
it is the theme tune time
for this segment of the show, which unfortunately is a Gannon's Golden Games. And now do the Bruce Forsyth version. Oh, no, you just did.
No, I
now didn't. Do a lounge version, something chill and sexy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a giddy go game. A giddy.
A dimio.
A giddy go to games.
A hero.
A go to. A giddy go to games. A go to. A giddy go to games. A go to. A giddy go to games.
A chicken. A
chicken. Hello.
Oh. So catchy.
Yeah, of course you could. You don't. The minute you go,
boom,
you have to, don't you?
It's funny because it's like a pop hook that doesn't involve words.
Exactly. What's the other one? Ooh, yeah.
That's that one.
Or the other one, yeah.
That's that one.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's the same one.
Yeah.
We're talking about the same one. It's not the other one.
Welcome to Paul and Eli Talk About Yellow.
Anyway, it's Gannon's Golden Games. What we got on the
Gannon? That's why I have sex. Like that.
It is. It was always in sex scenes, wasn't
it? All over her back.
It was always in the scene in the 80s movie where...
Something was sexualized.
A sexy lady would walk out.
Like, it was used in Ferris Bueller for the car. Remember?
Oh, yeah. That car was... Secret of my sexy lady in the film, wasn't it?
And what was the other one? Secret of My Success with Michael J. Fox. They use it in that as well.
Yes, they do.
Anyway, that's not what this segment's about. It's about playing a board game. And this board game is based on a TV show that, until I'd seen the board game, did not know existed. We are playing today the ITV show, I believe, Rolling In It. Eli, you found the Wikipedia page. What do it say?
Rolling In It, it's a British game show, Paul,
yeah,
that has aired on ITV from 8th of August 2020. So this is right up to date.
Yeah, it's not that old.
Although,
the year of the pandemic, so maybe that's a
four
reason.
4 years. It somehow doesn't feel like four years.
What the living horny fuck is
yes,
going on?
Yes, everybody, it's true. 2020 was 4 years ago.
Ugh.
Isn't that mad?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And Cheap Show started almost 9 years ago. Isn't that mad?
Yeah.
Tickets to our live show available in October. Details on our website, so, thecheapshow.co.uk.
Still, as game shows go, relatively young.
Yes. Well, I mean, is it still going? No.
Yes.
It is.
It is hosted by Stephen Mulhern. Now, he's on the cover of this.
A cheeky face on the
box.
He
looks like a cheeky.
He looks like so cheeky.
He's ruddy-faced as well, isn't he? Look, chubby, ruddy-faced little chap.
To my memory, he is a guy who started out as a kids performer magician who got a TV spot on, like, CITV, and then that led to him doing game shows and shit after that.
He's a presenter, magician, and comedian. He began
his
career...
No, I don't know about comedian. Fucking hell. Actor? Yeah, maybe. He magician, his
career,
I'll give him it.
He began his career at CITV presenting the children's television shows Fingertips.
Hey, up. Was that... Don't lean on the mic.
Sorry, I just knew you'd do that.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to see his fucking fingertips, did you?
Anyway, whatever. Fuck him.
His prestidigitation.
He's doing fine. We not... He's one of those, like you said, like that face, and you kind of recognise it, and you just think,
Butlin's
I don't know who that person is at all, because I stopped watching television about 5 or 6 years ago completely. Did you? It must have been
pretty
about
much,
that long ago.
Pretty much.
I only watch YouTube and streaming platforms.
Anyway, what else does it say about
so
the game?
So there's no way you'd come across him?
Well, no, if you got... Not
oh,
you
don't,
got his...
don't make that joke. Take the point I'm making.
I would just ask to see his fingertips and take it from there.
Hey, all.
Hey, all fucking mother. Dog's muck, mother.
Right. Shall I describe the game?
Describe the game's format for me, please.
Here we go. Main game. But perhaps this will help you to get the rules as well.
I've already looked at them, mate. I'm down pat and I've played this game already.
Main game. Three teams compete. Well, that's
one,
fucked.
Two, three.
That's that fucked.
It's fine.
It
doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The three teams don't matter.
Each consisting of a celebrity. Oh, that's fucked. That.
Look,
as well.
It even says two.
We haven't got no celebrities here.
We're minor Z list internet celebrities. We get people want our autographs and pictures and shit.
Yeah, I suppose.
We are Z-list internet celebrities. We should be comfortable in that.
I'm...
Because we're not getting any higher.
Listen, don't try and hold me back.
Stop touching your fucking groin. It's like the 20th time.
I was touching the empty fabric that has come... The tension, you know what I mean.
I know.
On the jeans, the empty fabric. Is that okay?
The gusset.
Is this okay?
Yeah, no,
I'm
it's
plucking
not.
Plucking at my
no,
gusset.
It's not okay. I want that
I like,
made
when I'm excited, I pluck at the gusset. Right. Okay.
Okay.
Each consisting of a celebrity and civilian, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The centrepiece of the studio is a wide, slowly moving conveyor belt. Et voila.
Et voila. Now, this isn't a conveyor belt. It doesn't do that. That's not what this one does, but it does fire a coin along what I would see is a similar belt stretch.
Good. You added there.
Yeah.
At one end is a launcher loaded with giant coins. We got one of those
yeah,
as well,
we got
everybody.
One of those. It comes with a toy little launcher.
It points from side to side. The other has a...
Sweeps.
This is getting...
What?
Not safe for work now.
Go on.
The other has a trough.
Yeah, the trough's there.
Fuck!
Yeah. Trough.
Gwen Guffney's trough hour.
I'd watch it.
Anyway... Oh, God, I'm like a fucking lunatic.
You are. You get lost and stop slapping your thigh. It's such an unsettling thing.
Oh, I'm like a pirate.
Yeah,
then.
You are. You're like some kind of. You should come with a sea shanty.
Oh, no. Anyway.
Come on. So you fire a coin down the conveyor belt and it ends in the trough.
I got really waylaid by the word trough there.
Yeah,
God.
I know.
10 slots.
There are 10 slots at the end
the
in the trough.
Has slots.
Yes, and each slot has a price.
Display values or effects that can change during the game.
Yes.
Pressing a button at the top of the launcher releases one coin to roll along the conveyor, and the result is determined by the slot into which it falls.
And then?
The two outermost slots are marked roll again.
Well, not on this version.
Oh, no.
Only
okay,
on the TV.
Okay, should we move now to
Yeah, so basically the game is you fire a coin down a what do you want to call that, an alleyway, and it ends up in a trough, and there are 10 segments, and each segment has either a price or a forfeit or some kind of extra rule, right?
I wouldn't call that an alleyway.
What would you call that then? The
a
little
lane.
Path. A lane. Okay,
like
a little,
bowling lane.
A bowling
isn't it?
Lane. Yeah, well, I was thinking bowling alley, but I guess the bowling alley's the
whole alley's
run.
Where the lanes are.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
The largest structure.
Well, you've learnt something now.
Have we? We've just reiterated something to ourselves.
So, that's what happens. So, here's the gameplay before we get into it. The gameplay
is... I'm ready to launch some fucking coins down there, mate.
We're going to do a little break first, but I'm just going to basically break it all down, right?
Basically bake it.
Basically bake it all down.
Bake the Brasics.
Yes.
Back to Biscuit Brasics with Bar Bar and Boo Boo.
Can I just
get
through this?
There was no point to that. There was no point
to
that.
So, when it's your go, right, you fire a coin down. It lands wherever it lands. If it lands in a gold spot, which is one of the prices, right, you answer a question and then you get the winning price.
I was about to ask. There is a general knowledge trivia sort of element.
Yes. And then if you get the question right, you have the money and then you have a choice to carry on another get roll, which you can do up to three times. However, you can just say, no, I'm going to pass.
But if you then decide to go for another roll and then get that question wrong, you lose the prize money from the first roll.
No, only the one you would have gotten if you...
Okay, so there's no point in not continuing then.
Well, no, because you can... If it doesn't make it all the way up the runway into the trough, that counts as a miss go and you miss your go. So sometimes, for some reason, it doesn't always reach the end if you don't fire it correctly or it hits the side and rolls off. So in that case, you'd lose your go and you wouldn't get the chance to win any money, right? So you have up to three chances in a row to play before you have to hand it over, okay? Or if you get the question wrong, you hand it over.
Yeah.
Six turns each. So it'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Do it that way, yeah?
You mean three turns each?
Three turns each, yeah, over six rounds. It's meant to be 10, but I want to get through this. Yeah. I'm going to play two rounds, and then the final round, which is whoever got the most money in those rounds we just did, goes through to the finale, right?
Yes.
On their
and
own.
That's game two. So what's the finale?
The
main game done.
And whoever wins the main game goes to play the end
game.
I'm
going to look at the Wikipedia page as you say this to help me.
No, but it's simple.
It's not.
No. The final round is...
Where are we?
Shut up and let me fucking explain, you blathermouse troglodyte.
Ooh.
If you win that round... if you win the main game, only you play the finale.
Yes, okay, like every other game show.
And in the finale, you answer 10 questions. And for everyone you get right, you get a win card slotted in. For everyone you get lose, you get a lose one slotted in. Then you fire the coin, and if it ends in the win slot, you win. If you go in the lose one, you lose everything. It's all over.
Okay, so we're going to compete against each other for the final round, big money.
Yes.
Okay.
The rest of it we'll explain as we go. So with that in mind, are you ready?
Absolutely. 100%.
It's time to play Rolling In It.
Ooh, bang, bang. I'm the banker.
You are the banker. All hail the banker as we play the first round of... Shut up. Of Rolling In It. And I'm the magician man. Hello, welcome to the show. Oh, look
That's
at me
thumb.
That's
not what he does.
He look
does
at
he have
me
a
thumb.
Voice like that?
Yeah, he does. Hey, oh, mother. I've made muck on me dog. I've mucked me dog up, mother. I've mucked him.
You've
Hello,
mucked your
welcome.
Dog up.
Anyway,
is that what his act was?
Do you want to go first?
Yes.
Do you want to go first? Right.
So we should say, Paul.
Yeah.
If their energy seems rather different, it's because Paul forgot to put the batteries in the device.
That's one job more than you fucking ever do for this podcast
Look, immediately, any kind of criticism.
Yeah, well, just don't criticise me for doing something that you would
never
really do anyway.
Am I not allowed to ever criticise you?
No, you didn't let me finish the sentence, did you? So therefore, you don't know the context of where it was going to go.
I don't want
to
hear it.
So therefore, once again, you've proven yourself to be a fat-eared twat.
I don't want to hear the end of the sentence.
No, there you go. You're just as ignorant as me then, aren't you?
Yes.
You dribbling gobshite.
Whoa, the nastiness has come back in.
Well,
it's because you're tired. It's because you're tired.
Here we go, the excuse is coming because you can't take criticism.
And you couldn't open the fucking device. You kept...
I was too distracted with your fucking asinine fucking bedtime stories that you call incidents in your life that I have to regard.
What was I talking about?
I literally blanked it the minute we stopped talking. Turn the machine on. The machine now is this little firing ramp that goes from left to right and you put your coin in. Get on your knees. Don't have to stand behind it, mate.
Why not?
You're not a baby.
Right down
here. Well, I'm going to point that camera right at your crotch then at this point so we can see your fucking grobbling nubble.
Stop being such a wanker, please.
Anyway.
How many goes do I get?
One. One coin is all you need. So put the other one down, right? He's now loading it in. No, wait there. I need to show you how to load it. So he's loaded the coin into the machine. It's pointing left and right. He's going to fire it down the ramp and he'll press the orange button. He's going to go in for the middle. I don't know what the scores are across the board. Can you read them from left to right, the prices, quickly?
We have
4,000.
Steel, then bankrupt.
Steel, bankrupt. 10,000. 16.
Then half.
Half a thousand.
8,000.
I know, it means half your money. You have to give half of it to me or whatever.
8,000.
4,000. So he's going to go for the middle, he says. He's going to go big. Let's see what he gets. No, just press it down normally. Don't tap it. It's launched. It's off to the side. Where's it gone?
4,000.
So, 4,000. Right, keep that running. Get back to your seat. Because now it's time for a question. Okay. And if you get the question right, you can have £4,000.
Oh, right.
Right.
I'm ready for my question, please, Jim.
Right. What motif appears on the Ralph Lauren designer clothing? Is it A, crocodile, B, polo player, or C, shark?
It is B, polo player.
You are absolutely correct. Take £4,000 from the bank. That's yours to keep.
Is it?
Yeah.
Whatever happens.
Yeah, you can take that worthless piece of paper money home with you tonight.
Yeah, but in, you know, right, if I was on the game...
My turn, you have to narrate me.
Right, narrate.
Well, Paul has he's lifted himself from his favourite blue chair. He's gone round. He's going to try and... the aiming I tried didn't go very well, and he's going sideways on. He's looking down the barrel, trying to have a little look down there, and it hasn't made it.
Oh, no!
It hasn't made it. And so that's... You're out.
I'm out.
You're out.
Oh, no! Give that's me, a shit ball.
Yeah, so it looks like he's got the coin out.
I want to do it again.
No, don't. No, you can't do it again.
No, not to dig out a point, just to test my motives.
Oh, what a little crybaby. See, it's not as easy as it...
No, it's not. I agree. I didn't get...
Okay, you missed, mate. Right. You don't get a question. It's my go again.
Round two. Yeah, your go. Fuck's sake. Right, he's launching the coin into the little thing. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, it didn't work. Yeah, it didn't work. It didn't work. Right, it's cool.
Where's it gone? Ooh, steals!
Well, I've got no money to steal, so you can't have anything.
Why can't you fucking get some money, you useless cunt?
Because you didn't let me have another go. You could have stolen some money I just had, but I didn't get
it. Well, no, we shouldn't cheat like that.
No, well, there we go.
If it doesn't get there, you said, if it doesn't get there, then you lose your turn.
Right, I'm off. Right, better look this.
You need to take that coin out of the slot.
Right, I'm off to fire the trough.
You never pay. You could have got steal.
Shut up.
If you leave it in there, you wouldn't have got steal.
Shut up.
Would you? You want to be stealing. Ooh, 10K. You need to answer the question, though.
Right, now, to win 10 grand, I've got to answer this next question card. And I picked it randomly, so don't fucking filter them and cheat.
I'm not.
This is
the first one, yeah?
Go on.
Which country's name,
yeah,
Paul,
yeah,
it for £10,000?
£10,000.
Which country's name? For £10,000?
Yeah.
Which country's name
is
derived,
yeah,
from the Spanish word for silver?
Oh.
Is it A, Mexico?
Right.
B, Argentina.
Right.
Or C, Venezuela. Is it A, Mexico, B, Argentina, or C, Venezuela?
B.
You're going to go for B, Argentina?
Yeah.
Yes, you are right.
10 grand!
You're right.
Give me
well
10
done.
Grand.
There you go.
Give me a tenner. Give me two fives or whatever it is. See, imagine if you'd stolen that from me. Right, your go. This is your last go now. Last go this round.
I might get a steal. Oh, I might not go through to the final.
You don't know, do we? Because you might get a steal or you might half. You don't know. Right, he's off. Do you want me to move that?
I need to move that. Right, I've moved it.
He's launching his third and final coin of this round. Oh!
Oh! 16!
Oh!
Right.
It fucking rebounded off the side. Did you see that?
I saw that was a nice little spinny move that the camera saw it.
Wow.
Right. Okay, I've read that one.
You don't be selecting questions.
No, I did. I've read those two questions to you. I'm turning it over.
Get the next card then.
Right.
I don't like this.
This is the same card. It's just question three on four. There's four questions on a card. This is question three from it. Right.
You were so lucky on that one. You didn't know that one, did you?
And it was a guess.
Oh, Argent. Yeah.
It was a guess, to be fair. Right. Because I knew it wasn't Mexico. That's all I did know. Right. Okay.
I would have guessed Venezuela.
What did London introduce in 1617 after traffic jams led to road rage? Is it A?
Say that again.
What did London introduce in 1617 after traffic jams led to road rage? Was it roundabouts, one-way streets, or speed bumps? Roundabouts, one-way streets, or speed bumps? What was introduced into London in 1617 to prevent road rage and traffic jams?
B.
One-way streets.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Come on.
Take 16 grand from the bank.
Thank
There's
you.
There's even a 16 grand paper.
That's convenient.
That's stupid.
Right, my last go.
Well, you're going to have to steal all the money or get... You're going to have to eat 16 grand.
I'll see.
Here he goes. He needs a 10 or a 16,
here
really.
Go, mother.
Oh, four again.
Four. Ask me a question on 4 grand.
I will, but it's really... immaterial because you can't win.
No, we're doing another round after this. Two rounds, then the finale. So whoever wins the next round goes through to the final.
All right.
So yeah, 14. So give me a question for 4,000. Come on.
Actually, you want to use the same card?
It's up to you, but I did.
According to the Bible.
According to the Bible, yes.
What did God create on the fifth day?
Oh shit.
Would it be
what?
The sun, moon, and stars, or living creatures?
Oh, maybe.
Or the land and sea. It's the fifth day of
I'm
creation.
I'm going to say land and sea.
You're going to say sea, land and sea.
Land and sea, sea. What is it?
No, it's B, I'm afraid.
Bollocks.
Living creatures on the fifth day.
It's quite came quite late. Right, yeah. It's time for round two. Right, it's round two, and there are a change of prices now, a change of scores across
the board.
You've
replaced the card in the slot at the end. Can I say, Paul?
So, from left to right, 4,000 steal, which you can steal the person's money.
I know, I got that before.
8,000 bankrupt, which means you lose everything that you've got to date. 30,000. 8,000 half, which means whoever gives half of their money to the other. And 20,000. So, anything could change on this round.
It's a new card he's put in the slot, and I have to say, Paul. Yeah. Although I'm enjoying this quite a lot, as a game show, what has happened to culture? I mean,
it's all gimmicky stuff now. It's all gadgets and the wall. Remember the wall and the wheel? And
that's
the...
what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's the way it went. Why did it go that way?
I don't know. Just because you can't just do answering questions non-stop to win money. It's too boring. That's 15 to 1, isn't it? Basically that. So they have to introduce, like, tipping points. It's a Porsche Halfpenny
machine.
But
it's basically the same as Wheel of Fortune. Isn't it?
Effectively, it's the same basic premise. There's
some
no questions.
Kind of mechanic.
There's no questions of Wheel of Fortune, though, is it? It's all letters and vowels and all that stuff. Remember?
Well, those are the questions. Yeah.
But the wheel.
It's a word
Michael
game.
Michael McIntyre's The Wheel, which I have got. I've got that board game as well.
Yeah.
But spin a thing. Bullseye. It's whatever. It's all.
So
the
it
same
is Wheel
shit.
Of Fortune. Fucking hell.
Well, no, because Wheel of Fortune has just letters that has questions on the wheel, right?
Okay. Update everyone.
Shall I go first for this round two? Then?
Going into round two, I have 20,000.
I have 10. But anything could change in this next and final round.
I'm going first.
Here we go. I'm going first.
I'm going first.
So you went first in the first round and I'm behind.
All right.
So here we go. Commentary, please, mother.
He's turning on the fucking machine. And I'm not your mum. Jesus, you've said mother so much today.
You've touched your cock quite a lot.
I have not actually touched it.
Funny enough, you touch your cock when I say mother. What does that say?
It says... paging Dr. Freud.
Oh, don't use that hacker, obvious.
I only did it as an
anyway,
ironic.
Here we go. I'm gonna launch my
is it warm in here?
I want 30.
It's really warm.
Safe. Let's see what happens.
Bankrupt!
Right, well, I've just lost 10 grand then. I'll just put that back in, shall I?
It went straight down.
It went so
don't I get your money, don't I?
Yeah, no, the bankrupt is gone.
Steal means you take
the
money.
Yeah, okay, I see, yeah.
Right.
So you'll go then. You'll go.
You should have seen everybody, the way it just... Whew.
And if you're a patron, you did see that.
It fucking ran straight down.
Your go.
Dead eye.
Your go, mate. Can you have your go, please, now? It already looks like I've not won this
loving
week.
I am loving it.
Come on.
I'm going to get through to the big money final.
All right. He's loading his penny pound coin into the machine, the sweeping ramp of doom, and he's fired it off.
30 grand!
So here's a question for 30 grand. To be fair, at this point, if you get 30 grand, we may as well just skip to the end. But let's just see. Right, this is just the first one I got off the top. New card. Which of these Derbyshire towns shares its name with a type of large, tightly stuffed sofa? Is it Buxton, Chesterfield, or Draycott?
It's Chesterfield, B.
Is correct. Award yourselves £30,000.
I'm loving this game. Woo! Money!
To be fair, we'll see it through because it might get a steal or a bankrupt. We'll see how it goes. I'm not going to throw in the towel just yet.
I've got 50k.
All right. Well,
and you have nothing.
I have lots of nothing but hope in my heart.
You've got hope in your heart.
As I load my coin.
You know, take the other coin out of the 30k tray where I lumped it down.
All right,
mate. I got a rebound.
Right.
Straight on 10k. Try not to hit bankrupt again. That'd be really sad. It hasn't gone. No, don't try and reload it. You fucked it again. Paul, take your medicine. But it didn't get down the lane. Don't be breaking it either.
Your go. Just have your go.
I don't want to get bankrupt now. That would be terrible. Ooh. 4K. Right, next card. Quick question.
Which of these countries is closest to London? Wales, France or Belgium? What's closer to London? Do you think? Come on. Getting fucked off with that sound of the machine going... Vroom.
Is it Belgium?
No, it is France. So no 4,000 for you. However, it is the final round. Maybe something magical will happen. I'll get 30 and you'll lose it all, but let's find out. I'm going to go in for a penny, in for a pound.
And he's going, stepping up to the hockey.
Stepping up to the hockey.
And he's loaded his funnel. He's about to press the button, release the coin. It's down the lane, and there it goes, and it's a steal!
Now, let me just look up the rules for steal, shall I? If it lands in a steal slot, the player steals from whoever they choose. If no player holds any money, then none is stolen. But the player still needs to answer a question. So if I get this question right, I can steal all your money. Don't look for a hard one.
I'm not.
Okay, give me a question. Just give me the top one.
Okay.
And I'll steal it all.
It's a patriotic question, Paul.
Okay, good.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. This could change the game.
How many blue triangles
right
are on the Union Jack flag? Is it A, 6... B, 8. C, 12.
B, 8.
That's the correct answer.
Give me your fucking 50 grand right now.
Oh, look. It's the big old belly's come out. Oh, he's doing...
I've gone full otter. I've gone full otter.
Wow, no one needs...
Give me.
Mate, you've got a reach of hair going right up it.
A little tail.
Like a seam.
It's like an uptail.
It's like a seam on a naked teddy bear or
mate,
something.
It's your last coin toss. You could bank, you could steal again.
I've given up.
You don't know.
I have to hit steal.
Yeah.
And get the question. That's the only way.
There you go. Aim for steal. All right. See what happens. As we go into the final round, is he going to aim for steal? Let's see. He's going to fire it off. Oh, here we go. What's going to happen? 30 grand. Sir, 30 grand's 30 grand, though. So let's go through the rigmarole.
Let's see if we can get 30 grand.
Which of these is not a stringed instrument, Mr. Silverman? Is it a balalaika, a mandolin, or a bassoon?
Bassoon is not
strength. The correct answer. 30 grand for you. But going into the final round, the big winner is Paul Gannon with Eli's 50 grand that I got. Let's take a quick break.
Well done.
Right, it's the final round. I have one coin to toss down the alley.
Oh, only one coin to toss?
Only one coin.
But you get lots of questions.
Yes. So let me just brief it very quickly. I've only got one coin, and I'm going to fire that at the end of 8 questions. Based on how well I do on these 8 questions is whether each slot is filled with a win or a lose. Mm. So question one, if I get it right, I slot win in. If I don't get it right, I slot lose. We go from left to right, 10 questions, is it? How many is it?
On one card.
Yeah, because you do front and back.
8.
So, okay, 8, right? And then I launch
there were
the
8 lanes.
And then I launch the one coin and aim for the win. All right.
Okay, I'm ready to go. View up, Paul.
Right, I'm ready to go. Eyes down for the 8 questions. Are they multiple choice or just here's a question, give me an answer?
They are. You need the answer
right.
for these.
Okay,
they're not
cool.
multiple choice.
All right,
okay.
Cool. Okay.
And you're gonna like the first question.
All right. Well, here we go. Eyes down for a full house as Paul goes for the final round.
And the time starts in my first question.
Oh, will we do with a timer? There's no need.
I just like saying
that. All right, no, sorry, that's fine. I'll let you have that moment. Sorry, I took it away from you.
Okay, so the time will start, your time will start when I ask the first question.
Okay, Eli, thank you.
Which city would you be flying to if your luggage was labelled LAX?
Well, that would be Los Angeles, so yes.
Put a win in the first time slot, not time slot.
In a second.
He's going to load it afterwards, everybody.
Yeah, just we'll
are you ready
out.
For your second question?
Yes.
What was the seventh colour? What is, not was, still
is. I was going to say, it still is, unless they've updated the rainbow.
That's right. You preempted the end of that question, Paul. What is the seventh colour of a rainbow?
Purple? Or indigo, whatever
yeah,
they call
violet.
It.
Violet.
Violet.
That's another
okay.
win.
Thank you for that. Okay, win-win. Winnie, winnie, chicken
violet's
dinny.
Violet's quite old-fashioned. No one says violet these days,
no one really
do they?
Says indigo either.
Purple's a bit of a dodgy colour to put your finger on, isn't it?
Yeah. My penis goes purple when I put my fingers on it.
I just don't buy that.
And I rub it till the piper pipes. Come on. Time's running out.
Which character?
Yeah.
Played on screen by Tom Hanks.
Right.
Had an IQ of 75.
Forrest Gump.
Correct.
All right, another win. This is good.
All wins so far. Are you ready for your fourth question?
Yes.
Which cartoon character?
Oh.
This is good for you.
You picked the card.
I did. I didn't look at it beforehand.
No,
all everybody.
Right, okay.
Which cartoon character? You might not get this.
I might not.
Which cartoon character is known for his catchphrase? Yabba dabba doo.
That's a Fred Flintstone.
That's right.
Another win.
Is he going to get any losers?
Well, we'll see.
You ready for your fifth question?
Yes.
Which is the closest planet to our moon?
The
closest planet to our moon.
Oh, our moon. Earth?
Yeah.
Oh, I got tricked, though. I nearly almost said Mercury.
You almost said Mercury, because that's the closest to the sun.
Win, win, chicken din. Here we go.
Six.
Yeah, six.
What wouldn't you be wearing if you went commando? These questions, what, who are they for?
White fronts.
Yeah, underwear.
Hey! These are quite easy, these questions, actually.
They fucking are, mate. What nickname? Because they want people to basically win the money, don't they?
No, but it should be hard, though, right? It should be some kind of difficulty so you don't just get a row of wins. But go on, question seven.
What nickname
is
given to the England ladies football team?
Lionesses.
Another win.
It's a new tube line as well. That's good, isn't it?
Finally.
Yeah.
These are so easy.
Finally, it has happened to me.
You've won all of the lanes.
Imagine if I just... To be fair, I might launch the coin and not reach the thing like I did twice.
Well, you'd have...
And that would lose.
You are going to have a full...
Well, we'll see.
All you need to do is achieve trough.
Yeah.
Basically.
Trough.
You ready for this last stupidly easy question?
Yes, please.
Well, this, you might not get this.
All right.
Doc, grumpy, sleepy, happy, dopey, bashful, and which other dwarf were characters... in the Snow White fairy story.
Say it again one more time, because I wasn't paying attention.
There's one dwarf missing
But say it again, then.
We've got Doc.
Yeah.
We got Grumpy.
Yeah.
We got Sleepy.
Yeah.
We got Happy.
Yeah.
And we got Dopey.
Bashful.
And we got Bashful.
Oh, bollocks. You said Dopey.
I said...
Sleepy.
We've got Sleepy on the list, I'm afraid.
Grumpy?
Are you giving up on this
one? I'm giving up on this one.
It is Sneezy.
Oh, fuck off.
He's got one lose. At least you've got one lose there.
Yeah.
You've got the possibility of losing by hitting the lose trough. Or, of course, as he mentioned, he might... the coin might fall flat and lose all momentum in the lane, which has happened to him twice getting here, which really makes mockery of the whole strategy of the game, because I played much better. I got more questions right. And just because of that stupid steal thing,
that's the whole point of the game, isn't it?
Wingy McTwat Pants. Wingy McTwat Pants, he's called me now.
Wingy
McBoohoo,
me baby cry all night long.
Wingy McBoohoo,
right,
me baby cry all night
long. Let's see me fuck this up as I go for the final.
Now he's looking for a win here.
So left to right, win, 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 lose.
He's got seven wins in a row. He just has to get it in the trough in that part of portion of the backboard.
I'm going to close my eyes and not even look when I fire.
I think that's fucking foolish as fuck.
I'm going to fucking do it. I've got my
eyes
closed.
Okay, he's got his eyes closed, everybody.
And I'm not going to look.
And he's got his finger hovering above the orange.
I don't even know which way it's looking right now. I'm going to do it.
He doesn't.
Three.
I hope you lose so desperately.
One.
He's got a win.
Gannon wins rolling in it, and that's another successful Gannon's Golden Games for this week.
Well done, everybody.
I'd like to thank Mama, Papa, and Mucky Pup himself for joining me today. Why, I'll see you all next week on Rolling In It. I fucking won that one.
Well done, Paul.
Well, after all that excitement, I think it's time to say goodbye for another week on Cheap Show. Well, I've had fun. Eli, what was it like to be absolutely fucking smothered with my excellence in that game? Was it
you got lucky
going into the last game? Eli's won 50 grand. Woof, woof.
You got lucky, mate.
Touch me, Willy. Touch it.
Can I just say, I don't touch it.
Make sure it's there. I bet you walk around with your hand down your pants
all
the fucking
time,
don't you?
I don't touch my willy.
You fucking do. Anyway, look, that was Cheap Show for this week. Look, long story short.
Look, everybody.
If you want anything from us online, you'll find it in our one-stop shop, thecheapshow.co.uk. That's our website. You can go to it. Every episode has an adjoining web page which has videos, and sometimes it has pictures, and sometimes it has little special bits, but it's all there. Also, our website has the information for our PO box if you want to send us stuff, videos, links to our Patreon, because our Patreon supporters and backers help keep this podcast going, and we thank them for it. So if you want to become one of those wonderful people and see the game we played today, because that'll be uploaded to them.
It was quite visually exciting.
It was at some point.
I got a rebound at one stage, and you hit bankrupt straight on. And
Bosh.
Steal. Did I get the steal?
I got the steal. Memorably so, Mr. Silverman.
Memorably so.
So you can become a Patreon at patreon.com/cheapshow. As we like to say, give what you can, but please only if you can, and you'll have access to magazines, extra podcasts, extra videos, behind the scenes stuff, lots and lots and lots and lots of goodies there for you, stretching back years. And that's it, really, in a nutshell. So anyway,
Paul, can I, before we wrap this up?
Because I need to figure out...
If you say, if they send any more samples, yeah? The dick paste or the X1B.
They don't do the dick paste anymore.
Well, the X1B
didn't
then.
Sell very well.
I want more X1B then.
The knob grub?
No.
Yeah, that's the knob grub.
No, there's the X1B is the nose powder.
Well, you're not meant to. It's meant to be knob grub.
I've been using the paste for my little beaky boy.
You know what? The fact that you keep calling it a beaky boy makes your penis in my head look like a octopus's mouth. And that's just more terrifying a concept.
Oh, anyway, thanks for listening, everyone.
Imagine if I lifted up your balls and saw an octopus's eye staring right back at me and it's little beaky boy,
Have you been to sleep yet today? You haven't properly, have you?
I've had a few hours.
Yeah.
Not as many as I need. But look,
no.
I'm going to start sorting out contributions for the film festival. I'll look for a venue to the awards and things from. We'll do all that. I'll look into that and start spreading the word to our contributors.
We need to nail down the...
What?
Like, who's the best actor and stuff.
All right, yeah, but fine. But if you want to be a part of that, you'll have to contribute a film, obviously. So
yeah,
you're gonna
I can
have,
do that.
So I'll have
yeah.
to... That's, I won't be
I've
able
been
to,
in films that have won awards.
Yeah, yeah, no, but I won't be
I've
able
a,
to contribute.
I had a short film that's won awards. Actually, people actually use that film. Film teachers use my film to teach.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
To teach the process of filmmaking.
Okay,
Paul,
but
okay?
You're going to have to still make something yourself. I can't help you with it because it has. Because I'm going to be the judge of it all, and I'm going to be the figurehead. I have to be the
as long as the
ringmaster.
The respect to the craft that we all, the acting
well,
craft.
Well, me and
is,
the judging
unless
panel.
There has to be respect across the panel.
There will.
To the craft of acting.
It'll
okay?
be equal. Equal, and I'll get a panel of non, you know, neutral-minded, artistic judges, and me and them will sort out the winners and the losers, and we'll just supply something, all right?
I will, don't worry.
And hopefully, I mean, there's no promise it will get commissioned for the film festival. It might not...
What do you mean?
It might not pass...
Don't I get automatically into the film festival?
No, I don't see why you should.
Why?
Because everything should be delivered on merit, right? So if your film's not up to scratch, it won't be a problem. It will be, I'm sure. But I'm saying we have to have some kind of quality filter, right?
Okay.
So I'm just saying don't take it for granted you're going to get your film on, all right?
All right, all right.
All right, at least, because otherwise it looks like I'm giving you a favour, right?
Okay, no, I don't want any fucking favours from you.
Graxton are going to put the money in. I have to kind of at least remain neutral in this.
See if Graxton will just do some of it as samples.
I think you're pushing your luck with them, actually. And we've already
upset
them.
What do you mean, pushing
them.
My luck?
Well,
that's what they do. They're
them.
A chemical company.
They didn't like how we sold their product. They think we've not been doing our end for all the money that we took from
Who's
them.
Who's your contact at Graxton?
Barry Graxton, isn't
Barry
it?
Graxton.
Barry Graxton. Actually, mate, he was a character you created. None of us can remember. So
should
well, we just
no, awkwardly
move
remember, you
on?
You did remember
I
him.
Made that up just to get through that fucking moment. Listen, let's say goodbye this week and say goodbye this week.
I keep letting off.
I know, and you keep holding your balls, and it's very unpleasant in the land of Eli's lap. So let's just move on. Eli's lapland, if
no,
you want to call it that. Eli's horrible lapland.
This is all make-believe, by the way, everyone.
Interesting, Eli's
nice.
Penis is make-believe. Can we go? I want to go home.
Stop then.
I will.
Press the button then.
I will.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.